Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Phoenix, Arizona with part 7 of my life story. In this video, I'm going to tell the story about dating and marrying my wife. I've already done an elaborate write-up of this on my blog, and I would recommend that you go read that instead of watching this video, because the book is always better than the movie, and I put a lot of time and thought into that written version, so it's probably going to be a better version than what I present here, mainly from memory. So you can just Google S. Anderson 1611 blog, My Wife Zhuzha Part 1, and read the written version. But I'm going to go ahead and explain it here anyway, because it's a great story. It bears repeating. So after I got back from Germany the first time, I went back to work at Round Table Pizza, went back to another semester of community college. This time I was able to jump from German 1 to German 4, because I'd been in Germany for the last 3 months, kind of immersed. So I was able to test out of German 2 and 3. I was still going to Regency Baptist. I was super involved there, soul winning, going to the services, etc. And while I was in Germany the first time, my mom had actually become a flight attendant. So, you know, I guess when you're gone for 3 months, a lot can happen. So my mom ended up becoming a flight attendant for American Airlines. So whereas the first time I flew to Germany, it was $1,100 for me to fly and coach. The second time I went to Germany early next year, it cost me $150 to go in business class. And so I thought to myself, wow, you know, I'm going to be able to take a lot of cool trips like this. I can use my mom's flight benefit, you know, the friends and family type discounts of being immediate family. And so I ended up taking a second trip to Germany. But on that trip, I did not even contact my wife whatsoever, because I was going to a different part of Germany. She was in Munich. I was going to Koblenz. And so I went there for like 3.5 weeks. I worked with Pastor Thomas Hastings and had a great trip, but I did not call or contact my future wife at all, because, you know, it was a different part of the country. And so it wasn't really relevant. But, you know, over the course of the 10 months after that first Germany trip, you know, she and I did exchange a few casual emails and casual letters back and forth. Nothing serious, though. I had actually gotten a bunch of email addresses and mailing addresses when I was in Germany the first time. So I had different pen pals going, and she was one of them. But in the course of communicating with her, she started talking about how she really wanted to go on a vacation to an English-speaking country. So I told her, I said, well, you know, you should come to California, because first of all, America is the best country. And second of all, if you're going to come to America, might as well make it California. So I kind of advertised her all the cool stuff in California, and how if she came out, she could stay at my parents' house in the guest bedroom, and it'd be great, and we'll have a bunch of fun. And I basically decided, because I was saving up money for a third trip to Germany, but I was thinking to myself, you know, if she comes out and visits me, then, you know, I can speak German with her and practice. And so I'll just take all that money that I was going to spend on going to Germany a third time and just use it to do like a staycation in Sacramento and show her all the sights locally, and just spend all the money just, you know, wining and dining her and just having a good time. Because I was thinking, you know, even when you grow up somewhere, you don't always do all the touristy stuff. So I thought, you know, it'd be fun to just take a few weeks off from work and just do all the local stuff. So, you know, I communicated this with her by email. We didn't talk on the phone at all, because it was literally like $1 or $2 a minute or something. This is before any kind of video chat or FaceTime or anything like that. So we communicated with some emails, and she ended up agreeing to come out on vacation. So I was like, cool, this will be great. And I just told her that the only catch was that if she came and, you know, visited, she had to come with us to every church service 3 times a week. And then she could stay at my parents' house in the guest room and whatever. So, you know, she ended up agreeing to do it. Well, here's the only problem, is that I had not told my parents this or asked my parents permission before inviting her. So I was like, oh man, how's this going to work? So what I did was I basically brought this up to my mom as like a hypothetical. I was like, man, you know, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, instead of me going to Germany to practice the language, what if one of my friends from Germany would come out and visit here, maybe even stay at the house? And, you know, if I had someone visiting, then I could practice German. or maybe if we took in some kind of a foreign exchange student, that'd be kind of cool. You know, I'm just kind of like talking about this with her hypothetically while she was maybe distracted or something. Then I had the same conversation with my dad, also just really hypothetical. And just, you know, and they're just kind of like, yeah, okay, yeah, huh, yeah, sounds good or whatever. And so then finally, after like a week of waiting, then I just came out and said, hey, you remember how, you know, we talked about, you know, that girl coming out and visiting and, you know, how I could practice German. Well, she's, you know, she's going to come on the 28th. And they're like, what the heck are you talking about? And I'm like, hey guys, don't you remember we talked about this? I mean, is there a problem? I mean, do you mind? And they're like, I mean, I guess it's fine. Yeah, why not? So that was kind of a relief because, you know, I didn't really go about it the right way as far as asking permission. And so they ended up being fine with it. They thought it was okay. We had an extra room in the house anyway that was like a guest room for her to stay in. And I said, you know, she's going to be going to church with us and everything like that. Well, here's the thing. Like, I barely knew this girl, okay? Like, I literally had talked to her in Germany in person probably 40 minutes and then maybe 10 minutes on the phone. So I've literally talked to her for less than an hour, face-to-face, 40 minutes. We'd exchanged, like I said, a few letters, a few physical letters, a few emails, but nothing super serious. But I was really excited about, you know, her coming out and visiting and just having a lot of fun. So I, once my mom was used to the idea of her coming out, I sat down with my mom and we brainstormed like what would we do for these 2 weeks? Like what are the fun places we would go? So we came up with a list that included, Six Flags, Marine World, Old Sacramento, river rafting, Moaning Caverns, Highway 1 and, you know, the Pacific Ocean, going to the beach, San Francisco, Chinatown, kayaking, Folsom Lake, Lake Comanche, Sunsplash. There was also a Beach Boys concert while she was there. So, you know, I bought tickets to the Beach Boys concert. And so, you know, I had just all this stuff lined up, just like wall-to-wall activities of just all this really fun stuff to do. One fun thing I wanted to do, I wanted to take her on a tour of Folsom Prison, but it wasn't going to work out because she's a foreigner or something like that. But anyway, so, you know, finally the day comes that my wife is going to come visit. Of course, she's not my wife yet. I, you know, barely knew her at this point. But, you know, this is before cell phones. So, you know, virtually no one had a cell phone. I certainly didn't have one. And so I was so paranoid about being late to pick her up or not being there. Or just, you know, having something go wrong on the road because I lived in Sacramento and I was picking her up in San Francisco. So I literally got there over 8 hours before her flight was going to land. So I waited at the airport for over 8 hours. So I literally ate like 2 complete meals and read a book and I'm just there all day because I was just really excited. And I was just really nervous about not being there. And she gets off the plane in a foreign country. There's nobody there. There's no cell phones back then. Back then when you said you were going to be somewhere, you just had to actually be there. And so I got there super early. And then when she was getting off the plane, I was literally holding up a sign with her name on it. Because I, like I said, I had only met her a few times. And so I kind of knew what she looked like. But there were definitely some other girls getting off the plane where I was like, is that her? You know? So I held up the sign and she looked totally different than I remembered her, you know, because that's just the way, you know, when you don't have pictures of someone and it's been 10 months since you've seen them a couple times, you know, so I had this little sign. She thought that was hilarious that I was like a limo driver or something holding up the sign. So we get in the car. It took us 4 hours to get home. Even though it should be like an hour and a half, 2 hour drive because it was Friday night traffic. So we're sitting in the car for 4 hours, but that gave us a chance to talk and get to know each other. I gave her the gospel again. You know, I'd already presented it to her in person in Germany. And then I, you know, written about it a little bit in our communications, but I presented the gospel to her again. She didn't get saved. We just talked, got to know each other. And then as we're driving by Six Flags Marine World, I just kind of casually said, oh, that's where we're going to be tomorrow. And it was, you know, she was pretty impressed by that because it's a pretty amazing roller coaster park. And so she thought that was super cool. So we get back to my parents' house on that Friday evening and they met her for the first time. They had a really nice friendly interaction. It was kind of funny though, because she presented them with a bottle of wine and my parents didn't drink. And so that was, we kind of just had a good laugh about that. But you know, she just was kind of bringing a standard type of a Germany gift, I guess. So, we get up the next morning and we go to Six Flags Marine World. On the way there, we stopped at the Rite Aid in Vallejo to pick up like some snacks for the day. And I remember buying a bunch of sour candy. At that point, I was on like a sour candy kick. So I was buying like these sour straws or whatever. And I can just distinctly remember being in the candy aisle, picking out the candy. And she and I got into an argument about spanking, like, cause she didn't believe in spanking children. And I was telling her that spanking is right and spanking is biblical. And so that was, it was just funny that we were already like discussing child rearing and we barely knew each other. We're definitely not dating or anything. We're just, you know, a couple of friends going out and enjoying the time. So we had that conversation and she was just very liberal in all our ideas because keep in mind, she's from Europe and Germans, especially in the 1990s, are just super liberal, feminist, humanist, socialist, left wing, you name it. That's just the way that they think over there, and especially back then, and were brought up and everything. So obviously, like, she and I had very different views. I'm very conservative. She's pretty liberal. So anyway, we go to the theme park and we just had just an awesome time, just a great day, so much fun. We're riding the rides. We were just hitting it off. We just got along super well from the beginning. Just great conversation, great times together. And, you know, I didn't want to keep badgering her with the gospel because I'd already given her the gospel a couple times. And so I didn't want to keep badgering her with it. So one of the things that I did was when we'd be in line waiting for the roller coasters, I would give the gospel to like someone else in line. I would just strike up a conversation with strangers and preach the gospel to them. And obviously I wanted them to hear the gospel, but what I was really hoping is that she would like overhear the conversation and that the seed would be watered without me, you know, annoying her or badgering her with the gospel. At least, you know, I just keep exposing her to it by preaching it to other people. So we had a really good time. We watched all the animal shows and rode all the rides. And then I remember on the drive home from that, the subject of evolution came up because this was like a big thing for her. Was she thought, oh, the Bible's not scientifically accurate, so it can't be true. Because her view was like agnostic. She'd grown up Catholic, but at this point she'd rejected Catholicism, but she didn't really know about evangelical Christianity. She kind of just thought, well, if it's not Catholic, then there's just nothing else out there. So she's just kind of agnostic. So I kind of preached to her on that drive home some things about how the Bible is scientifically right and a lot of things that the Bible gets right about science that were discovered later. And so I was just kind of preaching that to her. And that kind of opened her eyes how the Bible is accurate to science. And, you know, that it's not something that we should reject out of hand because, you know, it actually is ahead of the curve scientifically. So that kind of helped remove that stumbling block a little bit, I think, when we had that conversation. So the next morning, Sunday morning, it's her first time ever in a non-Catholic church. And so we go to the Regency Baptist Church and she absolutely loved it because she said it was the first church service she'd ever been in that wasn't boring. You know, it was really interesting. They had like a skit that they did during the announcements for the Vacation Bible School. She thought that was hilarious and she liked that kind of casual atmosphere. And then the hard preaching, she liked it. That afternoon, we picked up some sandwiches from Togo's and we went to the river and just kind of hung out at the river, swung on a rope swing, went swimming, just kind of hung out by the riverside, lazy afternoon, and then went back to church on that Sunday night. Well, after the Sunday night service, there was an invitation, as they typically do in the old IFB. And so she ends up, you know, like raising her hand during the invitation as being not 100% sure that she's going to heaven. You know, she's being honest. So she raises her hand and this lady from the church approaches her and, you know, takes her up to the front in order to win her to Christ. So this lady goes through the whole plan of salvation with her and then wants to pray with her at the end. And my wife said, no, I don't want to pray. And she said, well, why not? And she said, well, I already know everything that you told me because Steve has already like explained this to me a few times. I'm just not really sure if I believe it. I just don't know if I'm ready. So I just need to think about it more. And so she ended up, you know, not getting saved. But again, you know, it was just another exposure to everything. So then we ended up after church, we drove out to a place where we kind of look at the stars. We looked at the stars. We were not romantically involved at this point because she's not saved. And so, you know, I had it in my mind, like, there's no way I'm even going to, you know, emotionally get involved with somebody who's not saved. Like, I understood that, like, if this girl doesn't get saved, then any romance with this girl is just a non-starter. You know, it's just, you know, yeah, we can have fun, speak German, practice, go places, but like, you know, I'm never going to date somebody who's not saved. We're never going to marry someone who's not saved. So, you know, obviously though, after spending a few days with her, you know, I really liked her because before she came out, I barely even knew her and I didn't really have some romantic scheme or plan because it was just another girl, you know, I had an open mind, but I didn't know like this is the one or something. But after spending the last few days with her, I was really starting to, you know, have those feelings toward her and really like her a lot. So I was really sad that she didn't get saved. And so that night, on that Sunday night, I went home and, you know, she went up to her room. I'm downstairs in my room and I was just praying for her to get saved. And I even cried, you know, I was like weeping and praying for her to be saved and just begging God to open her eyes that she would be saved. And little did I know that literally as I was downstairs praying for her to be saved, she was actually upstairs in her room getting saved on her own. So, cause she'd heard it from me. She'd, you know, come to the front at the service on Sunday night. And even though she didn't pray then and there, she thought about it more. She went home. She thought about it in her room and then she ended up praying on her own. And then the next day she told me that she had prayed and gotten saved. And so then, you know, once I knew that she was saved, then I could kind of like unshackle my feelings toward her and really like get emotionally invested. And so, you know, right away on Monday, you know, I told her how I felt and we became romantically involved. So, you know, she got there on Friday evening and she got saved on Sunday night. Monday, we're romantically involved. And then, you know, we just spent that whole week just going and doing all the fun stuff on that list that I had brought up. And so, you know, we're going rafting, we're going to the caverns, we go to San Francisco, Chinatown, all these different places. And so we were pretty much together like all day. So the only time we were apart was at night, you know, just to go to bed at night and be in our own separate situation. But every waking hour we spent together. So, I mean, we spent a lot of time together because it was wall to wall activities too. Like we weren't just sitting around. I mean, it was just like every day because I had saved up, I think like $1,100 or something that I was going to use to go to Germany. And then she had also, you know, brought money for her trip. And so we had the money and I just had in my head, like, I'm going to spend all this money. Like we're just going to have fun and just go places and just do wall to wall activities. So we were just living it up and having a great time, super fun time the whole week. So, Saturday rolls around, you know, it's like what, 5-6 days later, Saturday rolls around and we ended up going out to Lake Comanche where my sister and her family had parked their camper and they were like doing a camping thing. So we're going to join them for that. And we're going to stay with them in their RV. And so we went there and hung out with them and did that whole, I think we went up Friday night is what it was. And then we, you know, spent the night, on the campsite with them. And then we ended up, on Saturday, just hanging out with them, taking a fishing boat out on the lake, just, you know, enjoying the outdoors and stuff like that. So this was when we actually had our first fight. Okay. And our first fight was actually over the subject of the sodomites. Okay. Because somehow the subject of sodomites came up and, you know, I told her, well, the Bible says that they should be executed, you know, Leviticus 20:13. And this was just kind of shocking to her, but, you know, she's coming from this really liberal upbringing. And so she's never heard anything like this before. And so it was just kind of a lot for her to digest. So she got upset. We argued about it and she ended up getting upset and storming off like in the evening, late afternoon, evening. She storms off. Well, the sun comes in. You know, I just thought, okay, you know, give her some space. Well, the sun goes down and she's not back yet. So then we're like, what in the world? You know, do we need to go looking for her or is she coming back or what's going on? And so, you know, we're out with flashlights, walking around the lake, trying to find her, and we couldn't find her. So then finally she ends up, you know, coming back into the camp and, you know, she calmed down and was fine. And then, at this point she spoke with like a really thick British accent because she had learned British. Her English was perfect. She was 100% fluent in English, but she just spoke with a British accent. 6 months after we got married, her accent was gone. But anyway, at this point, she's using British language, British accent. And so, we're like, where were you? We've been looking for you. And she's like, oh, was that you with that torch? You know, because they call the flashlight a torch. So we all laughed about her calling it a torch, whatever. So then, you know, we go to church again, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, more activities, more places. We go all kinds of places. Well, on the next Saturday, okay, so this is after she's been there for like 2 weeks and 1 day, okay. You know, we were just totally in love and we've just been together nonstop for 2 weeks straight and we're just totally in love. We're already talking about like getting married and, you know, what our life is going to be like and what we're going to do and so forth. And the time frame kind of just kept getting close. First it was like, oh, she's going to finish her college degree, then we'll get married. Then it was like, well, just finish the year. Then it was like, well, how about you just finish this last semester? And then once you're done with the semester, 6 months from now, you know, then we can get married then. But then finally on that Saturday, it just became like, well, if we know we're going to get married anyway, we might as well just get married right now. Now, I know that this sounds crazy and it is kind of crazy, but one thing that you have to understand is that, you know, again, this is before Zoom and FaceTime and video chats, and the phone calls are like $1 or $2 a minute. Okay. And so a long distance relationship would have been really hard because there's no talking on the phone. There's no FaceTime, way too expensive to do the phone calls. And then I could easily fly to Germany with my mom's flight benefit. But the problem was, I don't have anywhere to stay when I get there. Because if you remember, I would stay with these different missionaries. Well, the missionary that lived by her ended up being this total Ruckmanite, heretic, false teacher, like believed in wrong salvation and stuff. And so, you know, I didn't want to stay with that guy again. I couldn't stay with her because she didn't live with her family. Okay. She was living by herself in a student apartment. She was a university student. She was 20 years old, or sorry, 21 years old. She was 21 and she was a university student living in a university apartment. She's not living with her family. And so, you know, I couldn't stay with her because that would be inappropriate. Obviously, we can't stay together. We're not married. I'm not going to go stay at her apartment when we're not married. That would be inappropriate. And so like, we couldn't really come up with a solution of like, how are we going to continue this relationship? Like, you know, me going there is probably not going to work out very well. I already blew all my money over the last 2 weeks. She blew all her money. She's not going to be able to fly back and see me for a really long time. So it was like, we weren't going to see each other for a super long time. And so the thought was kind of like, well, if we don't get married, then we're barely going to see each other. We're not going to see each other for a year or something, or 6 months at best. And then, you know, it's just, I was just afraid that, you know, I was going to lose her. And so we just kind of felt like we should just act on this. Like, you know, we've hit it off. We're in love. We want the same things out of life. Let's just do it. So yeah, it was crazy, but you know, we just decided to just go for it. And I didn't feel bad about like not asking her dad's permission or anything because of the fact that she was coming from a very broken home. And so unfortunately her parents got divorced when she was very young and she ended up having like no relationship with her dad growing up. She was estranged from her dad. Her mom kind of made sure that she didn't really have a relationship with her dad. And so she had only just recently even like taken up contact with her dad and it was just starting to rebuild that relationship. And he lived in a foreign country, Hungary, you know, she's in Germany, he's in Hungary. And he was like just barely re-entering her life. And then, you know, when it came to her mom was married to another guy who was her stepdad, who was a literal reprobate, you know? So it's like, I don't have any respect for that guy. So it was kind of a, you know, a dysfunctional situation on that end. And so we kind of just made this impulsive decision to just, let's just go for it. Let's just get married. So we drive up on that Saturday night and we're just going to drive up and we're just going to get married, you know? And we get up there and we just assume this is like a 24-hour thing. But we get up there and it had just closed 20 minutes ago when we arrived. So we arrive and the wedding chapel had just closed 20 minutes ago. So we're like, what the, you know, so then we drove 2 hours back because I was, you know, Sacramento to Reno, 2 hours. So then we drive 2 hours back to Sacramento. And the reason we were driving to Nevada is